You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And if you're looking for the largest selection of Cleveland Browns jerseys, apparel, and more, shop.clevelandbrowns.com is your one-stop shop for all of your Browns needs. Zgura, Wilhelm, joined now by senior staff writer from clevelandbrowns.com, Andrew Gribble, talking about the defensive line of the Browns and how apropos, as it were, because this is a unit that many people think the Browns need to upgrade first and foremost this offseason, whether it be through the draft, whether it be through free agency. And we saw Mel Kiper actually link the Browns at number 12 overall to Danny Shelton, a big defensive tackle out of the University of Washington. Andrew, coming into the season, before you got here, this was a unit that was supposed to have a lot of depth and be one of the strengths of this team. Injuries quickly derailed that sense of depth, and it ended up being one of the tougher spots on this defense.
Yeah, you know, you always talk about great depth, and you can talk about that great depth when you have the starters ready, but once those starters go down, then you really are left with not much. You're left with those good bench guys that can do a solid job, but you really don't have much else behind that. And I think that injury early to Armani Bryant was really big.
Yeah.
And then the injuries to Phil Taylor. I mean, his last game of the season was easily the Browns' defense's best as a whole. They completely shut down Cincinnati, stopped the running game, and then Phil Taylor's injured, and he's out for the rest of the season, and then the running game kind of goes down from there. So I think that's why, with the injury to Taylor and some other guys, that we keep seeing defensive tackles or big defensive ends linked to the Browns in these early mock drafts.
Yeah, you had three guys who are expected to be major contributors. Phil Taylor, Armani Bryant, John Hughes all played five games for this team, and one of the guys that was certainly counted on to be a big factor, Taba Rubin, 13 games, but did not play very, very well this season at all. Free agent, probably unlikely to be back. Made quite a bit of money last year. Who are some of the bright spots for you, though, on this D-line?
Well, you know, I think Billy Winn played solid throughout the entire season. I think Desmond Bryant had a very good season. Very, very productive. He had a couple games.
Especially
where
second half.
Yeah, had a couple sacks in those games. He was, even though he didn't get really any credit for it, that hit on Andrew Luck in the end zone, he was the one that delivered the first blow, and then Kruger came and strip sacked the ball, and Robertson fell on it. But he was solid. And I think the end of the season, I think John Hughes, you know, had a situation where he maybe could have just looked forward to 2015, but he came back for one more game and had a career best day tackle-wise. So he kind of goes in the offseason with a little momentum. But again, I think this is an area we're going to see addressed pretty heavily, whether it's the free agency or in the draft going up.
I think John Hughes was the best defensive lineman on the field when he played this year.
I do too, and a lot of that has to do with his activity level. The one thing that I want to throw out there to both you guys is pass rush. You know, and because, in fact, in the National Football League, yes, we're a 3-4 defense, but you know, Paul Kruger, Jabal Sheard have to play a significant amount in the nickel or dime situations where their hand is on the ground. So I think pass rush is something that we can address. Do you think a pass rusher, like a defensive end, who of course will become a stand-up linebacker in our scheme, is something that we'll have to address moving forward to accumulate more sacks? Because we saw Kruger get a lot of attention, and Mingo still was good dropping, but not able to get the pass rush we all thought he could as a 6th overall pick.
Yeah, well, I think Mingo is another guy as well. And whenever we asked about him, it was the coaches said they liked what he was doing. He did a lot of dirty work type things on the field. And as we noticed, he was playing hurt through most of the season, just like Sheard was as well. But I definitely think that, especially in the draft, there's a lot of those kind of pass rushers available. If you want to go early with a pass rusher, there's a guy like Dante Fowler Jr. might be available from Florida. A couple others might be off the board pretty early. I think there's like that Randy Gregory kind of guy. He's going to be off the board.
He'll be gone. Yeah.
He'll be gone before that. But, you know, there's a lot of pass rushers in this draft. I think you're seeing a lot of these guys come up through the college ranks because these guys have to be leaner in college now with all the offenses, the way they're spread around and things like that. So these guys are coming in abundance. It's just kind of locating the right guy and how they work within your scheme.
And Ndamukong Suh, probably the biggest name in free agency, will probably command north of $20 million a season. Do you see him as somebody who could end up wearing the orange, brown, and whatever this mystery color is in 2015?
I think it's tough. I think the big price tag, for one, is really tough to overlook. And I think that what's the cap space, $44 million or something like that, he would basically take up about half that, almost like that. And I think they maybe can view some other ways to fill some needs and kind of get more players than maybe that one. He is a dominant player. He also plays in the 4-3 in Detroit. You wonder where he would fit in if he wants to even do that in a 3-4 in Cleveland. So I wouldn't completely rule it out, I guess. But from my perspective, with no inside knowledge, I just – I just have a tough time
for me with inside knowledge, only because if you recall, Luis Castillo, you know, a Northwestern player, played out in San Diego with me. He was in a 3-4 scheme. He was a 4-3 guy in college, but came in and became that 3 technique, that 5 technique in a 3-4 system. And I mean, he put up double digit sacks, you know, or close to, I'll say 8 plus sacks multiple years in a row, got a big deal out there. So because of Ndamukong Suh's physical ability and how intimidating he is and how athletic he is and disruptive, that you move him out in that guard tackle gap, I mean, you are stressing a defense. And I love his activity level. And again, that's why I asked the question earlier about, you know, if we go Shelton, do we not go Sue? Because you're investing money in a first-round pick who you want to get experience. But then lastly, how do you feel Ndamukong Suh and everything he brings to the table, his whole ball of wax, his personality, would fit into playing like a Brown?
You know, it's a good question. I think that in terms of the intensity and the just competition, the competitiveness, the relentlessness, all of that, the passion, that's all going to be there. But there's going to be some baggage that comes along with it as well. You're going to get, he will take some plays off. That's what he does. But he will also bring, I think, an unbelievable attitude and swagger, no pun intended, to this team. I think when people came to Cleveland, when you go play the Lions and you know you have to deal with Ndamukong Suh, you know where he's going to be.
It's Ndamukong Suh and that defense.
Yes,
is how
and,
you talk
and
about
that
it.
Would certainly mean a lot, I think, to the Browns and somebody that traveled to Cleveland, come in to First Energy Stadium, which will now have phase two renovations complete, and deal with that. I think it could be significant, because when you give up 4.5 yards attempt, that's worse than the NFL. We've heard Mike Pettine say many times, run defense is attitude. So you need kind of maybe that infusion of attitude. I just don't know if you are willing to pay for that infusion.
Right.
Of attitude.
I'm not discrediting him as a player. He's one of the best defensive players in the entire
NFL.
Sure. He's
just expensive.
And I think for a few years you would definitely get your money's worth out of him then. But then you wonder on the back end what that's going to cost as well, and things like that. There's so much that goes into it, and I just think that the way that to approach it might be to get more guys and more guys willing to play like that for the same price you could get for one player, you could maybe get 3 or 4.
I think the key is they've got to find somebody to clog the middle, and I think that's why Danny Shelton is literally linked to the Browns in every single mock draft that's out there.
Well, and as Kevin mentioned in his story today, he kind of fits one of the play like a Brown categories. He's a good academic guy, got a good head on his shoulders and things like that. That's something they'll like in the pre-draft interviews, I think.
They certainly will. So you look at this team last year, a lot of guys, Dez Bryant, Ishmaili Kitchen, Billy Winn, by the way, who had an interception where he should have led to a touchdown, but it was hosed against Carolina. Ataba Rubin, John Hughes, Sione Fua, Armani Bryant, Phil Taylor, Jamie Meter, who made his debut against the Ravens, Jacoby McDaniel, all those guys suited up on the D-line for the Browns. I think in my personal rankings, and we'll do our individual grades after this, Matt, my personal rankings, the D-line of the three units on defense was probably the weakest this year compared to the linebackers and certainly the DBs, which were arguably the best. But I think with a minor tweak and a minor influx of talent, it has an opportunity to be one of the stronger units on this team again in 2015.
Right. Like when I wrote that, it's like you have right now when you picture it after what you just saw at the end of the season, it doesn't look so great. But then you start playing the game of if these guys are healthy, this is what you have, and it looks a lot better. I think we talked to Phil Taylor at when the season ended. He's committed to getting back on the field and getting in great shape and able to play a longer season. You have him in there longer. You have Armani Bryant in there longer. You have John Hughes in there longer. Then it looks a little bit better, and then it doesn't look like you need to fill it with as many new bodies as it might look when you look at the team when it was injured.
I think it definitely does, and I think the one thing that I would want to look for from Ray Farmer and Coach Mike Pettine as they continue to evaluate it is what type of upgrades do they want to make and who's coming back and who's not, because you know guys like Phil Taylor, we've already talked about Ataba Rubin, their number is only going up and they're only getting older. So do we inject youth into that group?
Yeah, I think you've got to inject youth. And you have two guys that are going to be coming up that you're going to make decisions that are young. Billy Winn and John Hughes will be in the last years of their deals. Phil Taylor would be in the last year of his deal the way it's structured. Desmond Bryant would be as well. So, yeah, you've got to go ahead and infuse some talent in there. I don't think there's any question about it. Armani Bryant would be entering his third season in the NFL, so he's a little bit younger. But I think they've got to, and you got to infuse some of that youth. Remember the Calvin Barnett, who was very good in training camp, spent the whole year on IR with a shoulder injury. He will be in the mix as well. But to me, the one thing they've got to find is that nose tackle. When you look at the Ravens, when Ray Lewis was really at his best, it's when Haloti Ngata was in front of him or Tony Siragusa back in the day. You got to have that space eater in the middle to allow the backers to flourish.
The guys that don't get much stats,
credit, right.
if they don't have many stats, it's usually a good thing. You know, they're opening up things for the guys behind them, and it's just a position that's so not recognized by the common fit. You just don't put up big numbers, but it just it makes everyone better around.
As a linebacker, is that not your best friend?
100%, and that's the point that I was going to make. I've played with Jamal Williams, a Pro Bowl player, and skating free and making all the plays, and then he would get hurt, and you bring in the next guy in line, and it's just not the same. Guys are getting chips on you. Guys are getting up on you, and so it is a huge difference maker, and that's why every dominant 3-4 defense that you see is centered around, and they have their guy. In Pittsburgh, it was Casey Hampton for all that time. You know, we had Vince Wilfork came up. I think Stan talked about Vince Wilfork being that guy. And that's the reason why you see them have, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year careers with one team, because you just can't rebuild that. And we hope that Danny Shelton, if he, in fact, is the direction we go, is that guy for the next 5 years here.
So funny. I wonder, like, if that is even on the Browns. It is literally on every single mock draft.
The thing is, a guy like Danny Shelton now becomes even more valuable to the NFL because, you know, when I was in Alabama, Nick Saban revealed this year, because of the way the game has changed in college, a player like Terrence Cody would not have been able to get on the field at all for Alabama this season because the way they spread the ball around. So these kind of nose tackles that are ready for the NFL, they're getting harder and harder to find. So when you do find one, that's why they're going early.
Yeah, look at Ryan Pickett, you know, still in the league as that big cut. He ended up with Houston, started the season nowhere, was in, you know, St. Louis, did very well, was in Green Bay for 6-7 years, but still hanging around because 6'1", 375 pounds and taking on a double team is not easily moldable. You know, you can't recreate one of those. They just have to grow into that role.
They grow into it. All right. If you were going to add things to this defense, would that be your first priority? And what else on this?
Yeah,
defensive line?
I think you can always use more. I think, you know, they apply that philosophy to the defensive backfield. There's never too many good defensive backs. I think, as we've seen, you know, guys are going to get injured. It's inevitable on the defensive line. It's just so physical. So the more infusion of bodies you have there, the more competition you get, and the guys rise to the top who can play at this level and make the run defense better. Because as I put in there, Jim O'Neill stressed that the scheme that they have is tested to work. And I think that they're confident in that. They're going to mix with some personnel and see what works best.
Absolutely. Jim O'Neill saying he's very confident in our run scheme, and it's got to improve this year if the Browns want to be a better overall defense, as we saw down the stretch. So you can go to clevelandbrowns.com. Senior staff writer Andrew Gribble putting the defensive line under the microscope. It's awesome. He gives you the raw data, the rankings, the high point, the low paint, the point, the best play, surprise, surprise, the quote to note, and the outlook for 2015. Does that for every position group. They're all available right now at clevelandbrowns.com. He'll be back with us tomorrow as we take a look at the linebacking core of the Cleveland Browns. Andrew, thanks so much. And by the way, good luck with the Muay Thai lessons after work today. I don't know that you need them, though.
Say your prayers. I'll
wake up early.
Take your vitamins.
Yeah. I'm ready to go. I'm up at 5 a.m. I'm ready to roll.
Ready to roll. All right. We'll be back with more. We'll hand out our grades to these defensive linemen when we return here on ESPN 850 WKNR. All the boys chasing, all the right junk in all the right places.